some lessons learned from my dog. Those of you that have been at my house, you know that I have a golden retriever mix named Lucky. Lucky's the apple of my eye right now. She loves me like no one else. Used to, when I would be on a trip and come home, I would kiss Lucky and say hi to Connie. But Lucky come and jumped on me, and she just welcomed me home a lot better than Connie did. So. But she is a lovely dog, a very good companion. As a matter of fact, when I began putting my notes together, this is a dog and a cat. And if you know Connie, you know that she was a cat lover. But we had Lucky as our dog. And she is just a perfect dog. I love her a lot. She's the apple of my eye right now. In about 5 days, it'll be 7 months since Connie passed away, and I know many of you have been praying for me, and I certainly appreciate that. God's been so good to me. I got to go back to work next month. I've been off for 8 weeks. I've been home 8 weeks in a row. That hasn't happened in over 35 years. And I like it. I enjoy being there. But I like to eat too, so I better get back to work. But I've got 15 things I want to teach you about my dog. 5 A's, 5 B's, and 5 C's. The first thing is, she was adopted. She belonged to my neighbor across the street, Smiley Copeland. His wife had been gone some time before we moved back, I don't know, but he was a widower. And somebody, he had a dog, I believe, that died, so somebody brought this dog by to him and gave him to her, and he named her Barbara. Named her Barbara because that was his wife's name. But Smiley got cancer. And Pastor Brainine, senior pastor, and I were able to go to the hospital or nursing home, I forget where. But we led him to the Lord, and I think he truly got saved. He was a type that I'd witnessed to him over and over. He always said, I'm as good as the next guy. Well, if we're as good as the next guy, we're all hurting. Amen. We need to be better than that. And the only way to be better than that is through Christ. So anyway, when Smiley died, his family come across, knocked on our door, said, "Do you know anyone that could take his dog?" Well, when that was said to Connie, she had a home. So we adopted her. And you and I are adopted. If we're saved right now, we're adopted. Amen. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And God is our Father. We're allowed to call Him Father because we've been adopted. Now, Lucky loves me like no one else. And that's because I adopted, Connie and I adopted her, and she became our dog, and we loved her and trained her and provided for her, and she's just part of our family now. I've got a cat that if anybody wants, you're welcome to it. I have not been able to catch it since Connie died. It's an indoor house cat, and I can't catch it. I wanted to tell you, I took 6 of them down to the pound. And the only reason this one's still there, I cannot catch it. So if anybody's good at catching cats, please come to my house and take it away. Okay, I've gotten rid of all of them but one. And the stupid thing is making up to me now. Whenever it knows when I can't take it down to the pound of an evening, it'll crawl up on top of the couch and paw at me and then get down in the curve of my arm and let me pet her and stroke her and everything like that. But come daytime when I could take her to the pound, I can't catch her, can't find her. So if you can do that, please do it. So anyway, Lucky was adopted. Lucky's a golden retriever mix and a beautiful dog. After she was adopted, she became accepted. Accepted. Just as if she had always been our dog. To be truthful, I can't imagine what it would be like without her. She's getting older now. She's about 10, 11, 12 years old. She's got some ailments. May not be around, but she's accepted. Once we're adopted by the Lord, we're not only adopted, but we are accepted. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All of us like to be accepted. Do you ever hear of something going on, whether it's a party or an outing or something, that deep down in your heart you thought, boy, I should have been a part of that, but nobody called you. Nobody sent you a letter. And it came and went, and you weren't a part of it. Now, we've all been through that. You can't say you haven't. We've all been there. We all like to be recognized. But you know, the Lord makes no mistakes. And he sees the beginning from the end. And we're accepted in the beloved. And believe me, that's where it really counts. When the end of life comes, everything's going to pass away. All your earthly goods are going to just deteriorate. Go to those people that you didn't want them to have to begin with. So you may as well face that. But in the Lord, we're accepted. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I don't know about you when you were growing up. You know, sometime I look back now as kids. Boy, kids are brutal when it comes to this. I never felt that I was in the in crowd, but I never felt, when I was a kid I'm talking about, but I never felt like I was rejected by the in crowd. I was sort of in the in-between crowd. But as I look back and think about kids that we went to school with, I know some that were on the outside looking in. And I don't remember if I ever overtly tried to do that. I hope I didn't. I don't want to be that kind of person. I'm certainly not that kind of person now. With God, there's no in-between crowd. There's no outside crowd. If you're in Christ, you are adopted and you're accepted. Now, Lucky is also always acknowledged or confessed. Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Boy, isn't that nice? Have you ever been around? I associate with preacher. I've been preaching 40 years, and I know some of the most well-known preachers in the country, have had lunch with them and preached for some of them and been in conferences where some of them are and everything, you know. And isn't it something when you're with someone? Jerry Falwell's one. I had lunch with him, but he never forgot a name or a telephone number. They used to call Jack Van Impe the walking Bible. They called Jerry Falwell the walking phone book. He would never. But years later, I was in somewhere, and he acknowledged me that he was there and still remembered my name. And other people's over the years. But my dog is my dog. In my neighborhood, everybody knows Lucky's my dog because I talk about Lucky. I let her out. I sit out on the porch with her. I fellowship with her. I play with her. And I acknowledge that she is mine. And whosoever confessed me before men, Jesus said, I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that a comforting thing to think that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing before our Heavenly Father right now, and every time something comes up about Joe Asbury, good or bad, he says, oh yeah, said, he's your child. I died for him. I shed my blood. He's forgiven. And there. Amen. Isn't that good? And so he's acknowledged. Here's another A. She has total access to my home. If you've been by my home, you see a pen between my house and the garage. When we moved there and moved in, we had two cats that came with us from Missouri. And Connie didn't want our cats to get out, but she didn't want anything else to get in and get them. You know, a lot of times some other cats can come over a fence or animals and things. So when we moved in, our house is here. The garage is 24 feet behind the house. Between the house and the garage is completely enclosed with chain link fence on both sides and even got a top on it. And to this day, to my knowledge, nothing's ever got in and none of our animals have ever gotten out. We have a doggy door so they can come and go as they please. They have total access to our house. Their food, water is inside. If they want to go outside and lay in the sun, some of them do. Lucky doesn't like it. I let Lucky out. Now, when she was young, I used to let her out and run. I didn't let her out. She'd sneak out, and at 2 hours later, she'd come back. Well, now I let her out, and she's gotten used to being out. But in this heat, she's out about 2 minutes, and she's back knocking at my door. If you come to my front door, the screen is all torn off where she comes back and knocks on the door and says, "Let me in, let me in." She has total access to our house. And you and I have total access to all the power and the strength and the wisdom. Everything God's got is contained in here. And we have total access to it anytime, 24/7, to go to God's Word for anything that we need. And we can come anytime, anywhere before the throne of grace and bring our petitions to God. So we have total access. And then number five, she constantly abides. Constantly abides. 1 John 2:27, 28. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you, as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed." The Lucky abides with me. I lay on the couch, no matter where she is in the house. If I say, "Luck," or even if I just cough or make an effort, get, she runs right in beside my couch, lays down, and wants me to pet her on the head, and I'll pet her for a few seconds, and then she'll lay down right there beside the couch and stay right there beside me for a few minutes. And then her favorite place right now is on the floor right inside the front door for whatever reason, but she'll go back in there. But all I've got to do is say, "Luck," and boy, she'll come running. She abides with me, constantly abiding in a constant companionship. And isn't it good to know that Christ is right by your side, no matter where you go, good or bad? Good or bad? Now, I know most of you never do any bad things. Is that right? But isn't it good to know that even in the depths of our depravity, oh yeah, after we're saved, we're still depraved human beings. But in the depths of our depravity, Christ is still there. If you were ever saved and if the Holy Spirit ever came in, you'll never lose that. And it's always there. And Lucky is my companion. Okay, that takes care of the A's. And then the B's. She is begotten. Begotten means to be bought back from death. Had we not taken Lucky back 10 years ago or whenever it was that we took her, 11 years ago or whatever, she would be dead now because she would have been shipped off to the pound. And back then, it wasn't a no-kill pound. I believe it is now. But she would probably been dead unless somebody else would have come in and bought her out, taken her, and secured her freedom from the pound. Very likely, she would be dead by now. But she was bought back. And 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Jesus has bought us back, paid the price in full, signed it with his own shed blood, and you and I are begotten. And that's what Lucky was. The day we said, "Yes, we'll take her," she was begotten by the Asbury family. She became part of the Asbury family. She was totally loved by the Asbury family, totally provided for. She's not even had to go out and work one day. I've never kicked her out for anything. Just love her. She brings enjoyment to Connie and me. And I think we have enjoyment given to her. And it is just that way. So not only is she begotten, but she belongs. Mark 9:41 says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." We're boughten, begotten of God. We're belong to Christ. Are you beginning to see a pattern in this?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. If you're Christ, what do you have to worry about? I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again. When Connie was on kidney dialysis, 5.5 years, 3 days a week, 8-hour ordeal, coming and going, getting set up, being on the machine, have to take you down off the machine, a lot of times bleeding, would have to sit there for almost an hour and hold a compress on it to keep it, to get the blood to clot so she could come home. And it was, but you know what? She complained a little bit to me about some things. But her overall attitude, she looked at other people that had it much worse than she did. There were older people that are older and much less mobile than she was. There were younger people that had both legs cut off and had to be wheeled in on a gurney. And she looked at that, and I can't tell you how many times she said, I'm thankful that I'm in as good a shape as I'm in. And a lot of us, we get a little bitty hangnail or get a little crossways with somebody, and we want to come to God and blame God and almost curse God over some little bitty thing that 9 times out of 10, after it's over, never amounted to a hill of beans. And so we belong to God. Lucky is beloved. Romans 1:17, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Just think back. Some of us are almost too old to remember now. But remember, some of you young couples in here, when you started dating and the first time one of you said to the other, "I love you." Wow. Enjoy it, because it may be the last time you ever hear it. "But I love you." That really meant something, didn't it? When you think that the apple of your eye said, "I love you." Or maybe you said, "I love you." And before long, you're both, "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you so much." And isn't that what God says to us every time we pick up this book? How much he loves us. Beloved of God. I sat in there and talked to Lucky. I still talk to Connie every day too, every morning, every night. I've got her picture on my computer. I go in the first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Talk to her for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes before I go to bed. And I still tell her I love her. But Lucky, I tell her I love her too. And she is loved, and she knows she is, and she returns that love. It's a two-way street. Next thing, she is broken. You know, if you have a pet, you have to break them. Cats, you don't break. Cats, you just abide with. Okay. And if they want to be broken, they get broken. If they don't, they don't. This dumb cat I've still got will not use the pet litter box, but does not go indoors. She uses a doggy door and goes outside. I wish all the other cats had done that. Getting my carpet changed next month. You know why. Okay. Connie would have got rid of me before she would have got rid of those cats. Now that's true love to the cats. Okay. But Lucky was broken. And when I thought of the word broken, I thought of the word conformed. See, she came from being an outdoor dog to being an indoor dog. We got a doggy door. I've never had to let her out. I do let her out now just because I know she likes to go out a few minutes, but I've never had to. We have the doggy door and the pen out back, and she learned that right away. One of the reasons that my neighbor didn't like the dog a whole lot, she was a pup, and she chewed on his woodwork. And so he made her start staying outside, wouldn't let her come in. Well, by the time we got her, she was broken. That was a thing of the past. She never did that. And, well, I can't say never. Two instances, but she got over it right away. And she conformed to what we wanted her to be. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 12:2. We quote this all the time. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Now with a dog, you train them by repetition. Okay? As human beings, we're trained by repetition. You say, well, I heard that sermon before. Well, so what? Some things you're going to hear over and over and over. When you read God's word, once you get to Revelation 21, the end of the chapter, you say, well, put it back on the shelf. I've read this book. No, you go back to Genesis 1:1 and start over again. As many times as I've read the Bible through, every time something new pops out at me that had somebody said, do you know this? I've said, no. No. Never heard of it. But it's there. It's just repetition going through. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So she's conformed and she is blessed. Luke 12:37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. That means the Lord's going to gird himself, come forth, and serve us. Connie did this, and I do it every once in a while, but she'd go to Burger King. She'd order two plain hamburgers for Lucky. I'd go to the grocery store. I'd buy 6 or 8 packs of hot dogs, mostly for Lucky. Yep, we'd like to give her those things. She was up 75 pounds. since Connie died, she's lost 10 pounds. So I think that those hamburgers being cut out have helped. But I still give her a lot of hot dogs. I feed her from the table. I know you don't have to come and eat at my table if you don't like that. My grandkids won't. They won't eat at my kitchen table because that's where I feed the cat, and they go the, just a little frisky things. They're not really cat lovers. And some of you may not be, but I take care of them. But Lucky, I feed not on the table, but from the table. And my son comes down, their dog, they never feed him anything but cat food or dog food. When they come down to our house, my dog Lucky and Reese, they stand right there head to head beside me because they know they're both going to get some food from the table. So they've been blessed. And I still, when I take Lucky to the vet or the up to get her clipped and all this stuff like that, just as soon as we come out, we go through McDonald's and get two plain hamburgers for her. Okay. God's going to do that for us. It may not be hamburgers. It may be steaks. Maybe heavenly manna. Whatever it is, you and I will be satisfied with it. Amen? And then the third thing, the five C's that I've learned, she is chosen. At first, we didn't choose Lucky, but no more had she come in our front door, and she was our chosen. She's always been the apple of our eye. James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" Chosen the poor. And like I said, we chose to keep Lucky. We could have said, no, I don't know who could take care of her, do with her as you please. But we chose her and took her in as if she were one of our own. She is called, Romans 1:6, among whom ye are the called of Jesus Christ. Everybody in our neighborhood knows that Lucky belongs to Joe. Jackson belongs to my neighbors across the street. All the rest are outsiders. Any of them come, we say, sick them. Get rid of them. Because I don't want any more. Now, that's not true. There's a lot of dogs that come over and they have camaraderie with each other. But we bring Lucky in, they take Jackson in, and the others go home. It's about like your neighbor kids. You can love them for a little while, but then get out of here, get out of here, go on home. But Lucky is mine, and I'm not ashamed to call her mine. And everybody knows that Lucky belongs to Joe. She is cared for. James, or 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Nobody cares for Lucky like I do. I don't care for your dog like I do Lucky or your pet. Now, I know Pastor Ross always preached there'd be no animals in heaven. We get to heaven, we'll find out. Now, no cats, I can understand that. But I think Lucky will be in heaven. Unfortunately, her time's coming pretty soon. I'll tell you about that as we close. But Lucky doesn't have to care for anything. She's got an air-conditioned house. She has two water bowls, a big food. Somebody told me I always had a little food bowl, one about that tall that was down on. Well, somebody told me that a big dog like that, when they have to bend over and eat, hurts them. So you know what I did? I put a gallon ice cream thing underneath it and raised her food tray up so it's easier for her to eat. Doesn't God do things for us like that? Just make it easier in our life. She's cared for. And she has a conscience. She has a conscience. Now that conscience had to be trained. James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When Lucky was young and in the house, we never let her out. But if she could sneak out, the door open and didn't latch, and she'd get her nose up there and take off, she would run for hours. Sometimes 2 hours, 2.5 hours before she'd come back. I used to go out and try and catch her. And I'd get her over here, and about the time I got within 2 or 3 feet, she darted away. Well, I'm not a dog chaser, so I said, well, just go ahead and go at it, and when you're ready, come back. But she always knew where to come back home. Always come back to our front door. But now she's got a conscience. When I let her out, I let her roam a little bit now. I let her out 2 or 3 times a day now. Used to, I'd never do that. But I know that when she goes out now, whether it's wintertime or summertime, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. She's only going to be out 3, 4, 5 minutes, or if I forget to let her back in, 10 or 15 minutes. But when she comes back the door, she knocks on the door, scratches on the screen on there. And whether I'm in my office or in the family room, I hear her knock and I get up. And she has learned what to do. And then the last thing, she is caressed and comforted. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I don't know exactly how old Lucky is now. I lose track of time, probably 11, 12. But for the last few years, a couple of 3 years, she's been having seizures. And usually they last anywhere from a couple minutes to 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then she'll come out of it. And when she comes out of the seizure, she's real hyper and just runs. Used to, she'd run. If I was in my office and Connie was in the living room, she'd just back and forth, just real hyper and going. But I said that. She's had 3 seizures the last 2 weeks. None of them are major. I don't know that they're life-threatening. Somewhere along the line, they probably will be. But you know what happens when she's having a seizure? If you've never seen an animal have one, they stiffen up, the legs straight out like that, the mouth and the eyes roll back and the slobber and everything. I sit down beside her and pet her, rub her head, say, now, Lucky, you'll be okay. It's going to be okay. I just caress her. And I don't know, but I think that probably just having my touch probably makes her feel better. Isn't it good when God comes along and just begins to caress us and to comfort us? Never gets old, does it? If you're here today and you've never been saved, most of this probably sounds like a bunch of baloney to you. But to those of us that are saved and know what God's Word says, everything I just said, even though I was talking about my dog, is principles, are principles that are true and active and very much a part of our daily life. Amen? Animals can teach us a lot if you just take a little. Well, cats can't, but dogs can. Amen. And horses, maybe. I'll close with this. I had a horse when I was little. I grew up at the corner of 48 and 41 over in Shelburne, where the crossroads is. That was my dad's farm. We had an old mare named Duchess. And I was real little, and I was scared to death of her, and she was mean as could be. She came up one time, and I put out a sugar cube like this. She took it, turned 180 degrees, and with her leg just kicked up at me like that and got me right in the knee. She just walked off like nothing. We sold her to Shackamack. She threw some kid, broke the kid's arm, and I believe she ended up in a glue factory. But I don't know what that had to do with my lesson, but it just tells us to be right. Amen. Don't let things get in a case where the Lord has to take you to the glue factory. Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's good to be able to look at the principles of God's word and to apply them to our lives. And Lord, how we love you. And Lord, we're an imperfect bunch. We all stand in need of your love and your forgiveness and your comfort and your caressing. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done. Now bless in the service to come. Bless the preaching of your word. And I pray that if there's any here that are not saved, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.